All right, well, God bless you guys in the name of Jesus Christ, and thank you guys for being on here. And it's thank you, Bob and Jeannie, and you guys to give me the opportunity to be able to teach. So it's awesome. So God's word is phenomenal, and what I thought about teaching on is the renewed mind. So we'll just go ahead and jump into that. I'm going to just give you some fun facts. First of all, about your mind, because it is the most powerful machine in the world. So it can perform up to 10 quadrillion functions per second without you even knowing it. Now, I don't even know you can count a quadrillion, but okay. It is doing your brain. It is doing 6 trillion things to your 60 trillion cells per second. You know, what's keeping you breathing? It's your brain and your subconscious mind. One limitation that the subconscious mind is it cannot distinguish between what's real and what's fake. So what you tell and program yourself with in your mind manifests. I don't know how familiar people are with the placebo effect. Basically, it's like when the doctors or people have an illness, and the doctors gave, in group A, they prescribed a high-dose pharmaceutical pill to one group, and then they gave group B a sugar pill. However, both groups were cured. Why? Because it's the power of your mind. And, you know, Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So, you know, I tell my kids all the time, when you wake up, your brain is functioning at the highest, about 10.5 wave cycles is the highest your brain's going to function all day. So whatever you program your mind with and into your mind is going to affect the spirit of your day. So I always tell them, hey, when you wake up, make sure you thank God and thank him for 5 things so that you can put your mind in the right position and affect the spirit of your day if you go out with a heart to give. So, you know, God is not slack about, excuse me, communicating about the mind. So let's look at what God's word says and what he says about your renewed mind. So turn to Romans if you like. It's a very familiar verse, and I know that a lot of people are probably familiar with. But it says, chapter 12, verse 1. Because this word of God is powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and of the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, if we can just marinate on that sometime and really think about it, it is phenomenal, because we have resurrection power living on the inside of us by what Jesus Christ has accomplished. So all power and authority belongs to us. The same power it took Jesus Christ for God to raise Jesus Christ from the dead is the same power that lives in us. So just think about that as we go and read these words. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, and God's mercies are phenomenal, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's a reasonable service because what God has already done for us, he's already given us all the enablements that we need. Our job is just to walk in it. But here's the verse 2. And he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. All right, let's break this verse down a little bit for a second. It says, the world cannot conform you. People choose whether or not they conform to the world or not. It's our choice. But it says, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. This word transform is in the Greek, it means metamorpho. It's like when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. So it goes into the cocoon and then comes out, beautiful butterfly. But we don't, we can't do the transforming ourselves as the butterfly, right? Or the caterpillar turn into the butterfly. But you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we do not do the transforming either. If man or woman does not have the word of God in their hearts and their minds, there's nothing that they can transform to except for, what can they transform to? Except for the, stinking thinking that maybe they've been in before and, getting the same results. So, and then they get mad and say that the word of God doesn't work. No, you let God transform you by studying his word, meditating on his word, thinking about what his word says, and then God will do the transforming. However, if we program our hearts with the and minds with the truths of God's word, God's promises, you may prove, and who are we going to prove to? We're going to prove to ourselves what God is, what his good and acceptable and perfect will of God is for us. And the way that we prove it is by meditating on it, by thinking about it, by saturating our minds. All right. So this voice, this verse right here tells us what to do simple and plain. And the benefit of doing it, it has to be the word of God. It has to be the word of God. There's nothing else that can help transform you unless you have the word of God in your heart and you're mindful of it every single day. So, all right, so we're going to go to Proverbs. And like I said, well, we're going to go to Hebrews first. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to quote the scripture for you. But it says, the verse tells us, simple and plain, the benefit of doing it, it has to be the word. So the word, it takes discipline to get into practice. God never tells us what to do and not how to do it. So in Hebrews 12:11, if some of you guys are familiar, you can turn there, or I'm just going to quote it for you, because that's what it takes to be able to renew your mind on a consistent basis. It takes discipline. And, people don't really like discipline because that means that you're going to have to sacrifice something. But in Hebrews 12:11, God says now, and this is some encouragement to us for when we make a decision, we say, hey, we want to, I really want to see the truth of God's word come true in my life, and I'm really going to focus on how to be able to put these truths on in my own life. So Hebrews 12:11, God says, now no discipline seems to be joyous. Now, if you're trying to learn a new skill or start a new job or start a new relationship or whatever it may be, it takes some discipline. And that discipline seems grievous, especially when they're not agreeing with you. You going this way, they going that way, So, but God promises that it seems grievous, but nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who are trained thereby. So our job is just to train ourselves. And it's like anything else you do, you train in. If you're an athlete, you train every day. And sometimes it's second by second. But that discipline, God promises that it will yield the peaceable fruit after you push past that grievous uncomfortableness, because we always want to be comfortable. So if we're learning a new word or learning a new verse, and it's just like, man, I'm not getting this, man. Forget all that. No, you are getting it. You just got to keep going and keep pushing. So it takes discipline to get into practice. And, you know, the great thing is that you're not doing it by yourself, because it's God and it's His word, and His word doesn't come back to Him void, and He'll never fail it. So so God tells us in Proverbs. So go to Proverbs chapter 4, and He gives us some nuggets here. And, you know, I was memorizing this verse this week, and, you know, God really opened it up to me. And I hope it blesses you the same way as I did, as I got blessed. Now, as I start to read it or read it, I want you to pay attention to some of these key words that I'm going to point out. And when you hear those words, I want you to input your name. All right? Because that's how God is such a very, 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 very personable and personal God that loves you specifically, regardless of what you feel or think or how you see it. He has and wants a personal relationship with you. And until you can get that in your heart and to your mind, it does not matter. You can always think, oh, I love God. Yeah, oh, God, hallelujah, praise Jesus. But until you really understand that, and He placed His mighty working power inside of you and loves you specifically, it would never become truly real for you. But when you do that, you do take the time, you do meditate, and you do grab your mind, renew your mind. And, you know, the word renew in that verse is to store up in quality. So you can't do it yourself, but you got to have the word of God in you to be able to let God draw from that word that you know, and then He will store up in quality your mind. And then once you do that, you'll see what His good and His perfect and acceptable will is for you. It's pretty cool. All right, so some of these key words are where you see my son, I want you to just say Michael or your name, whatever your name is. So my son, and then another word is keep. Another word is hide. Another word is let them not depart. And ponder. So when you see that or hear that, you just put and place your name in there. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. The first, it says, my son, Michael. Yes, sir. Okay. Attend to my words. So God wants me to attend to His words. Now, if I'm sitting in a room or whatever, then, and I'm in a place where we're meeting or something like that, and I'm in attendance, but that doesn't mean my mind is there. Maybe I'm distracted, or maybe I'm looking around or whatever, but attend to my words. Michael, attend to my words. Okay, so what are some of God's words? Bob alluded to it earlier, which is some of His words. Isaiah 26:3, I had written it down already, which was awesome that you already alluded to it. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in me. I'm sure everyone on this call loves perfect peace. Because when you have it, it's phenomenal. So another part of His words, attend to my words. Romans 8:18, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. I mean, those are some great words to hold on to in your mind, because it gives encouragement, it gives hope, it gives great expectation. And another one of His words is, there's plenty, but I just chose a couple. My words, he says, Romans 8:37, nay, in all of these things we are super conquerors through Him that loved us. So those are some pretty cool words to be attending to in my mind as I go throughout my day, and let it ruminate in my mind, and then say it over and over and over again. Next verse, well, not next verse, still verse 20, and this is really cool as well. God says, incline your ear unto my sayings. Now, I don't know how many people have been to the gym. You know, you got the bench press, you got the decline, and then you got the incline. And God showed me a picture of that. I'm like, oh, man. And then, oh, I just thought, oh, I was just thinking, oh, yeah, that's really cool. So incline requires you to sit up straight to a degree and to stretch forth your arms like you're stretching towards the sky. So incline my ear. So when I'm listening to God, I am inclining. I am listening on purpose. I am being attentive. I'm sitting up straight. And the great thing is he only says, your ear unto my sayings. Incline your ear. So I have two ears, but he wants me to incline my ear. That means that I'm intently listening to what he is saying. Because only can listen out of one ear at this point. Because if I listen out of two, then it might go in one ear and out the other. So God says, no, incline your ear to me. So that means I got your full attention. Right? So, incline your ear unto my sayings. So I was like, okay, well, what's God's sayings? I am your salvation. I think of you more than the grains of sand. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I hold you tenderly in the palms of my hands. I cover you. I am your refuge. I am your fortress. I am your shield. I mean, those are some great things to hold on to in my mind. Right? Okay. So, the other part is, so we got my son, attend to my words, incline your ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. Who does the keeping? Who does the hiding? Who does letting them not depart from you? Who does the pondering? Mike does. Johnny does. Billy does. Whomever else. But it's a choice. It's a decision. And it's got to be a deliberate, determined decision. To hold, to keep, to hide, and not let them, don't let them go. Because these are precious, great promises that God is obviously, excuse me, wanted to communicate with us, and he's not slack in his communication with us. He is constantly encouraging us. He is constantly fighting for us. He is constantly talking to us. And that's the attitude of heart that we need to have when we approach his throne. So, verse 22, verse 21, I stay there, says, let them not depart from your eyes. So our job is to hold on to what he said. Don't let them go. Keep them. So my job is to do the keeping in the midst of my heart. Why would I do that? I mean, to get the word. Okay, good. But why? Why is it important? God never tells us one thing and then doesn't tell us the other thing. For they, verse 22, are life unto those that find them. And health to all their flesh. I mean, I love life. I mean, people love life. I love life. I love being, you guys know me, funny, goofy, silly, playful. And I love to have health to my flesh as well. So it says, verse 23, keep, my job is to keep thy heart. Holding this word, holding it in my heart, in my mind, thinking about it, meditating on it, and then walking out on it with all diligence. And that word diligence means watchfulness. So when I read the word, I just don't read it and say, oh, yeah, I read the word today. Oh, that's cool. No, I watch to see what God does so that when it happens, I can give him the glory and honor and praise, like the song says, right? Because for out of the heart are the issues of life. And that's, you know, people get in trouble, frustrated, anxiety, worry, fear, No, but if I keep my heart with all diligence and watchfulness by hiding God's word in my heart, then I can just watch from a distance the people or challenges of other people having an issue of life. So, in closing, you know, who does the keeping? Me, you, anyone that desires to believe and desires to believe that Jesus Christ died and that God raised him from the dead, and then you're saved. Then that is the most important decision that you could ever make in your life, right there. And that's what God's waiting on for everyone. All right, who does the hiding? I hide it. I hide it in my heart. I hide it in my mind. And I keep my heart with all diligence. So, you know, people want to, they want God to do everything and not have to think, don't have to do anything, or just whatever. God's already done everything he's going to do. He's given us all the enablements that we need. And our job is just to walk in the truth of it, practice it, and then it'd be, it's phenomenal. Let me read this part first. So, like I said, he's done already everything he's going to do. Because his love for us is so great, and he wants us to tell other people about it. So they can also walk in freedom with, you know, truly, and can walk in the truth of who they are. However, it takes discipline, and not everyone wants to discipline themselves. They just want to try it for a little bit. Then it gets grievous, and then they get upset, and then they quit and walk away and say, oh, okay, it doesn't work. It takes discipline to walk with a renewed mind. But the more you do it, the better you'll become and the stronger you'll become, and it won't be hard. Yeah, it might take you 1,000 times the first couple times. But as you get better, you get stronger, just like an athlete shooting a jump shot, running the football. Then it becomes second nature because that's who you are. And when you walk with a renewed mind, remember, you're not doing it by yourself. God is right there with you, and it's his word, and he will back it up as, you know, as you do it. Because we walk by faith and not by sight, and, you know, however, faith without works is dead. So if we're going to speak it out there, and then we have to walk out on it as well. So you got to walk out on what you say you believe and then practice. You know, it will get easier, and, you know, just keep shooting. Just keep shooting the ball. Then you'll prove to yourself. And that's the greatest part, because God's a very personal God, and he wants you to know how much he loves you and cares about you. And then you'll know what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God for you personally, because he will fill you, he will touch you, he will help you, and it's just a personal touch, which is awesome that he is that considerate, that kind, that thoughtful, that patient, that loving, to even consider us in that regard. So, store your mind up with the quality and watch what God does. You know, because truth be told, and we've all lived life long enough at this point, there's no other way to live this life. Nothing that's of real purpose and value. And the true meaning of love in its true form is God. Because he's teaching us how to love every single day, every single second, if we allow him. So it's in a renewed mind and a manifestation of the love of God. And that means practicing, 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 practicing. Don't let go. But you're not doing it by yourself. You know, my question is what else are you going to do? Or what else are you doing? What else is worth the time and effort and energy that could produce great benefits and be able to be beneficial to others? Because that's what I believe everyone wants to do. I think everyone enjoys when they see people getting blessed and being helped and things of that nature, helping with the greatest thing that they could ever have in their lives. Because the time is now, as we can see, you know, the devil is not, he's not going to stop. So, you know, we need to stay sharp as a family, And we need to stay sharp as a team and need to stay sharp on our own individual skill sets. But we're not doing it by ourselves because the devil's on the attack and he has no power, no authority to harass anyone that's on this call or anyone that has the Spirit of God in them, because that mighty working power is the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and we have that living on the inside of us. We just have to learn how to live it. So, sharpen your skills every day. Love one another. Encourage one another. Build each other up. And be watchful. Because God is really working all at the same time right now. And the great thing is that we're not coming to a victory. We're already fighting from a position of victory. So understand the power and authority that you have as a son and daughter of God, and walk out in that authority every single day with your head held high, smiling, because you know that God is right there with you and he's working with you and to do of his good pleasure. So get excited about that. Get excited about your life. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how young you are. Get excited about your life again, because it's real deal. And the battle is real. And if you could see the things from the top down, the spiritual realities of it, you'd really get excited because we already won. So thank you for allowing me to share the power and greatness of God's word with you. I love you all deeply, and God bless you.